I've spent now some time in Sunday school class. But Sunday school class is an opportunity for you all to help the facilitator or the teacher. You get an opportunity to share what you see in Scripture, and the facilitator or the teacher is sitting there going, wow, I never saw that before, or my mind didn't go there. So Sunday school is an opportunity not only for the teacher, but it's a great opportunity for the students, the scholars that are there to help us understand God's Word. And so now all the adult classes is just one here, and Brian's been leading that, and I've just been sort of in awe about the teaching that's there. Because usually, quite often in the Sunday school, adult Sunday school class is sort of this is what we're supposed to say, and this is what we'll study. It comes out of a quarterly, and those are okay, but usually the more rigid you get with something to study, the more rigid the interpretation becomes, and the more quiet the people become. But I've really enjoyed Sunday school class over the past couple months because you've taken on some challenging topics, like the topic of rewards. I find that one interesting in that I think there's a couple viewpoints of, okay, well, rewards are when we get to heaven. But you also can't miss that rewards are given in the present. So we spent a few weeks on rewards. What they are, how they are, what's the difference between rewards and a blessing? And we spent some time there. We talked about joy. And if you remember from the class, there was a difference between joy and happiness. Happiness is, that's happiness. It puts a smile on your face for a small period of time. Joy should be how a Christian lives. And you can shake your head with a smile on it because we're to be different. We spent some time on what produce you bear. What are you bearing in regards to fruit? If you're a Christian, you should be bearing fruit. If you're a Christian and you're not bearing fruit, do you suppose there will be repercussions for that? If God has made this available and we choose not to grow it, could God provide some uncomfortable times for us to shake us up a little bit? Christians should be producing fruit. Christians should be producing fruit. Amen. Are you? You know, I remember as Tom was preaching one time, he talked about what the church is actually doing and how much fruit we're actually producing. That should rest in each one of us as to, Lord, what am I producing? Because I think when you start to get some age on you, which even Kristen's starting to get old, we start producing less, don't we? Lots of times older Christians get set in their ways and set in letting somebody else do it. I think, first of all, you're missing a lot of blessings. And second of all, that's not advancing the kingdom. We should be producing fruit until God calls us home. Then we picked up one more topic, and it was the great joyful topic of suffering and how we suffer and what we suffer. And I started to think about that, and I'm thinking, well, you know, in this world, you're going to experience suffering. And you ain't going to get away from it. And you're not unique to it. Unbelievers go through suffering. Believers go through suffering. Just because you're a Christian does not mean that you're exempt from it. There's a line of thinking that goes like this. The better the Christian I am, the less difficulties I will have on this earth. I got news for you. Jesus died here. So as a Christian, you're going to suffer. And it's really interesting what Christians do with suffering. Because a lot of times I think the flesh rises up. And with suffering, what? Just curious, how many enjoy it? You enjoy those times of suffering. As Christians, what do we do when it comes to suffering? The first thing I'm thinking of is, how am I going to get out of this so I don't have to do this any longer? But yeah, consider it all joy when you suffer. That goes against the flesh, doesn't it? It goes against the flesh. You don't like to suffer. You don't want to suffer. Therefore, something's wrong if I am suffering. Suffering's not the best topic to preach on. But I see that it involves absolutely everybody here, because each and every person here either has, is, or will have to deal with it. Because suffering is on this planet, and you're going to be in it. Suffering. You know, I think about suffering. Suffering is a place where all people go. You don't have a choice. At some point, I'm just curious. In the last year, has anybody here gone through suffering? Everybody has. Some form or fashion, you have gone through some sort of suffering. Now let me ask you this. Who's suffering here that you've gone through in the last year, whose suffering is the most? Come on, be bold. Don't be afraid. Who has suffered the most? Your degree of suffering is the most of anybody's. Where do you come up with that? How do you gauge the amount or quality of suffering? You see, you can't do it. Because if I suffer because my dog limps, now let's be realistic here. That dog, to me, is the third most important person in my home. Jesus comes first, Karen comes second, and Duncan comes third. That dog means an awful lot to me. And he is 5 years old and fell on the floor and ripped his back up. And I can't afford a $1,000 MRI or an $800 consultation, not counting surgery. I feel bad for that guy. He suffers. And because of his suffering, I hurt. And don't be smiling and go, oh, that guy's a softy. How many have had a dog like that? Or a cat? Come on, you've had a pet. That pet means an awful lot to you. You can give them a whipping and they'll still wag their tail. They're always happy. See, you can't determine your level of suffering in comparison to somebody else. You can't say my suffering is more than your suffering. You can't do that, because the suffering that I'm going through right now is the most intense suffering that I'm going through. I don't know what suffering you're going through, but in my mind, it can't compare with what I'm going through. It may be suffering, but it's not as bad as mine. Am I right? Am I wrong? Who gauges the amount of suffering? There's not an index that says, okay, 1 through 4 is uncomfortable. 5 through 8, that's the hurt period. 9 through 12 is anguish. 13 through 16 is unbearable. You see, you can't establish an index or a number when it comes to suffering. Whatever you're going through is the most horrific thing that is in your life right now. It may be small in comparison to what I'm going through. Not really. Because who gauges the amount of suffering? Suffering is what you're going through that's not comfortable right now. And for each of us, no matter what that suffering is, it's really getting to us. For all those who are suffering right this week, go like this. You've suffered this week. There has been something this week that has just been gnawing at you. I don't know what it is. Is it a death? Is it finances? That can be bad. Is that suffering any less than your suffering of a relative passing away? But in my life, this thing is the biggest thing that's going on right now. It's a big deal to me. It's suffering. Christians aren't exempt from it. Just because you claim the Lord as your Savior does not mean you have a smooth life here. In fact, it almost appears that suffering in the life of a Christian is more than in the life of an unbeliever. It seems like for some reason, haven't you said, I don't know what it is, but it's like suffering has a way of finding me. It's like, there you are. It might as well bring it on. It almost appears like we Christians find it. It's like, there it is, let's go get it. In actuality, suffering is a gift from God. And you're thinking, guy's off his rocker. Suffering is a gift from God. Oh, that's terrible. Suffering can't come from God. But the gifts of suffering come from God. The benefits of suffering come from God. You will grow as a Christian because of the gifts of suffering. Now, if that is true, then Christians should not be trying to get out of suffering. We should be seeking the strength to get through suffering. Because if there's gifts coming because we suffer, and those gifts are from God, and those gifts are for our good, shouldn't we want them? Because if they're gifts from God, they got to be good ones. I think so many times we go through suffering and the first thing that we think of as flesh is, how am I going to get out of this? What can I do to make this thing stop? When God may be saying, why don't you let me bless you in this time of suffering and see what it does for you? There are gifts because we suffer. Number one, because of suffering, we can receive the gift of closeness to God. I'm just curious, when do you do your best praying? Is it when things are going real good? Or when you're in the pits? What is the time that you feel closest to God? Is it when everything is going your way? Or when it's like the world is just falling apart and against you? Which one do you spend more time with? The first gift is closeness to God. Take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 34. We'll be all over the place. Psalm 34, go to verse 18. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. And we learned last week that all means all. All means all. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. One of the gifts that we can receive because we are going through suffering is the nearness of God, the closeness of God. It seems like in those times, I have nowhere else to go, nowhere else to turn to, but there is God. During times of suffering, we ask questions like, what did I do wrong? This is a good one. Is God punishing me for something? Now, we Christians would not think that way. Correct? Well, yeah, we do. If something's taking terrible in our lives, you can't tell me that we haven't thought, now what did I do for God to do this to me? By the way, when Job had his buddies over, that was the topic. Job, what did you do for God to do this to you? You see, during our times of suffering, Lord, what did I do wrong? Lord, are you punishing me for something? And most importantly, how long is this thing going to last? What can I do to get out of this? Look what David is presenting in verse 18. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted. That should give us great assurance that when we're going through a very difficult time, there is someone right beside us. Notice, brokenhearted, crushed in spirit, those are not happy times. Those are times of anguish. But in those times, there is God. He's right next to us. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, 15. We're familiar with this. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. And I know that we look at that verse and we go, well, Jesus was without sin. He was tempted, but he did not sin. We're tempted, we do sin. That's what that verse is about. But look what it says. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. Let me ask you a question. When your kids were growing up and they hurt, they come home from school and something happened at school and they severely got their feelings hurt. You know, girls, they talk about each other. Guys don't do that. Not when I was growing up. They didn't do that. They just beat the crap out of each other. Girls just talk about each other and hurt somebody's feelings. Did you feel bad for your kid? Did you hurt because they hurt? How do you think God feels when we hurt? He's a good father, isn't he? I have a feeling when we hurt, he hurts. But that's a very special time. Because David says, when we're hurting, God is right next to us. Number two, a gift from suffering is increased faith. Now, when I say increased faith, you know I'm not talking about the Lord. He can't increase his faith. He's all faith all the time. He's the ultimate in faith. But during times of suffering, a gift from suffering is that our faith can be increased if we will just let that take place. First Peter chapter 1. Let's go to verse 3, but the two verses I want are 6 and 7. So 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled, and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last day. Peter right now is talking, is sending this letter to believers, which you are one of. Verse 6. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now, for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. A gift from going through suffering is that our faith can be increased if we let it. As we're going through that suffering and we feel the closeness of God and we're actually making our way through this suffering and we're actually gaining strength and moving on from it, your faith should be increased. Now, if you come up and there's something wrong with you physically, when you go through a difficult time, if you come up for prayer and there's something wrong and we pray over you and you get healed, what happens to your faith? It increases. You know, I'm convinced of this. I'm thinking the church has a real difficult time in believing in healing. I think Christians say, yeah, we believe in healing, but saying it and living it are two different things. You see, what Scripture says is, if any of you are sick, he is to ask the elders, come forward, they anoint and lay hands on you, and you will be healed. Because the faith heals. But yet, we Christians use healing at the church as a last resort. Instead of it being the first option, if nothing else works, then we'll go up. And time again in the church, I know somebody's hurting bad. I know there's something wrong. I know they're really hurting. And then I'll go up and say, do you want to be prayed over? Oh, yeah, Pastor, that'd be good. Why didn't you think of that earlier? You see, I'm seriously saying we got some faith issues when it comes to especially healing. Either that or we're stubborn and proud. When we go through suffering, our faith can be increased. What happens when you're actually going through a suffering? When you're actually in it? As a Christian, what is actually taking place? You see, I'm thinking there's probably some pretty standard things that we go through. The first one is, when you're going through a suffering, the tendency is, I don't pray more, I pray less. I don't read more of the Bible, I read less of the Bible. When I'm sick, when I'm suffering, I focus on me instead of focusing on the Lord. But what a gift. When we suffer, our faith can be increased. It's an opportunity to grow even more in our faith. Number three, gift of suffering is our ability to comfort one another. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians. I think I read this one almost all the time in regards to funerals. It's a hard time. It's a time where there's a lot of unknowns, a time when families are drawn together that may not desire to all be in the same room together. But there's an interesting little thing that Paul shares here. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, go to verse 3. Paul likes this phrase, by the way. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Now that's an awful lot of words to say a simple phrase. When someone's hurting, what's our responsibility? To comfort them. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. How many have ever experienced a close death in your family? What happens because you went through that experience to now to the person that you're going to the funeral home to talk with or say, sorry, or you have my sympathy? Well, that's great. It's hard to know what to say at a funeral. But you've already been through this tragedy of someone close dying to you, and you've made it through it. Now what can you do as a fellow Christian? Or if they're not a believer, what can you do? You could share how you got through it. You could share that it's not easy. But with God's help, God's power, and His strength, you got through this. What happens when there's a tragedy at your neighbor's house? And it's something that you went through this 8 years ago. What can you do? You can provide the comfort. You see, God is actually comforting that individual. You know, God's just not sitting back there going, I'm waiting to see what these people do. He's providing comfort to that individual. How's He doing it? Through you. You've been through this. You have experience with this. You're now to provide comfort to someone else. You know what? What I'm finding is it's not hard to find people who are suffering. They seem to be everywhere. Especially in the world that we're living right now, you don't have to go very far before you find somebody who's actually hurting. They're right there. And you can provide comfort to them. Because more than likely, you've been through this. You can provide some peace for them. During the revival, we were challenged. And one night in particular, I remember, was the phrase was given, the broken and oppressed. Now, if that doesn't ring a bell, I'm going to tell you, when you walk out of this building and walk out into the world, wherever it is, grocery store, at your workplace, somewhere, you are going to run into someone who is broken and oppressed. You can tell. You can see it in their eyes. And you were challenged this week to go up to them and simply say, can I pray with you? You look broken, or you look like you're in pain, hurt. If the person says yes, do you realize what God has just done? And who He has used to get to that person? You all who are afraid to mention Jesus Christ in the public. Here all you have to do is notice somebody who's hurting and say, hey, can I simply pray with you? And if they want nothing to do with you, they'll say, no, go away. You can smile. And you can be happy because you have done your part. But I've run into very few people who will say, no, I don't want you to pray for me. I can only think maybe one. And he didn't mean it. I prayed with him anyway. I know he didn't mean it, because that's not who he was. Most of the time, if not all the time, they're going to say, yeah, I could use it. You can be of comfort. God may use you to supply comfort to someone else. Number 4, gift of suffering is that your fellowship with Jesus Christ will be increased. Philippians chapter 3. Wow, you all are fast. Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Now just think to yourself, did Paul ever go through any uncomfortable circumstances? Scripture where he names some of them. I was shipwrecked so many times. I was bitten. I was beaten. I was in prison. I was given lashes, something minus one or something. It seemed like no matter where Paul went, trouble followed him. Sometimes it was already in the village when he got there. But what's his biggest concern? More than anything that he has gone through, I count all those terrible things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ, and may be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Paul is simply saying this: in the good, awesome times that I have gone through, I would give them all away. They're simply rubbish in comparison to knowing Jesus Christ. And if Paul is willing to give away the good stuff that he has experienced, I know that he's more than willing to give away the bad stuff, the sufferings that he's gone through, so that he can know Christ better. But look at what Paul's Look at what's sitting in Paul's mind is this. I don't care what I have gone through or what I've experienced. The most important thing to me is that I experience more and more of Jesus Christ. That was his desire. We've gone through some things. All of us have. But in those things that you've gone through, you had a gift of growing in fellowship with Jesus Christ. And if we do that, isn't that worth more in value than the suffering was? That I know Jesus better now because of what I've gone through. In John 16:33, Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world." So no matter what you're going through, Jesus Christ stands in victory over it. So when those times of suffering come, the first thing we do is try to get out of it. Maybe what God's saying is, why don't you stay here a while? Let's fellowship. You'll draw closer to me because of those terrible things you're going through. Do you think Jesus actually cares when you're going through something? Do you think he actually cares when there's suffering or uncomfortable something? There's something terrible you're going through. Do you think Jesus cares? Yeah, I'm thinking he probably is watching it. If it wasn't good for you, he would pull you out of it. But if Jesus says you need to stay here a little while, there's got to be a reason for it. Maybe it's that our fellowship with Jesus isn't as good as it was before. Did Jesus Christ suffer? Now don't go away from me here. Was it good for Jesus Christ to suffer? Why? It was good for us. It was good for him too. Because it completed the mission that he came here for. I think when we suffer, it gives us just a little bit of a taste of what our Lord and Savior went through. He hurts when we hurt. We hurt when he hurts. The fellowship increases when we're going through suffering. Number five, the last one. One of the gifts of suffering is an eternal perspective. When I was a kid and I was bad once in a while, my mom would correct that badness quickly. It was either a switch or the stainless steel paddle that she had that Grandpa made at Republic Steel. But I would get the tar loosened. And when you give a spanking to somebody, you always say something. Parents always, if you don't say it, you think it. As they're bent over and you got the paddle in your hand, either you say it or you think it. This is going to hurt me more than it is you. It's going to hurt me more than it is you. But when you take your licking, it's not long before you're right back at it again. It's going to hurt me more than it is you. But most of the time, I didn't learn from that lesson. It would take quite a few lessons. But I noticed this. After I got the licking, Mom's anger at me was done. She had been satisfied. And I hurt right around there. She'd give me a switching. You had to go get your own switch. And it had to be a good one. If you come up subpar, she made you go get another one. And she would nail you right there until there was welts there. You see, life was different then. Maybe we should do some whipping today. But the pain doesn't last a long time. It just hurts right then. It's temporary. Suffering in this world, no matter what the suffering in this world is, it's temporary. It's only for a period of time, and it'll pass. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. Just write that one down. Reads this way. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. What Paul is saying is this. The pains and the trials that we go through in this life are but a vapor. And they're gone. But then after that sits eternity. You see, there's an eternal perspective when it comes to suffering. In this world, you will have tribulation. You're going to suffer while you're here. But it's only temporary. You see, in the flesh, we concentrate so much on the suffering that we're going through right now, we can't look at, well, this is going to be over for too long. And we keep our eyes focused on God. Keep our eyes focused on heaven. If we did that, maybe we would learn. The terrible things I'm going through right now, it's just temporary. It's a different perspective. It hurts right now, but I'll get through this. And when I get through this, no matter how long it takes, I'll be on the other side. It's temporary. Everyone suffers. Everybody does. Believers, unbelievers alike. In this world, you will suffer. But as Christians, we should have a different perspective on suffering than the world does. You see, because we have something the world does not have. And His name is hope. We have a hope the world does not have. When you are going through suffering, draw closer, even closer to Jesus Christ. Spend more time in prayer. Spend more time in Scripture. Spend more time in fellowship with Him. Spend more time with other Christians because they're providing the comfort that God is actually sending your way. So in those difficult times, draw closer to Jesus. Don't push Him away. Grab onto Him. Grab on to brothers and sisters and say, I know that you've gone through something similar. What can you tell me? how am I going to get through this? And this week, as you're making your way down the street, and you look into the eyes of someone, and you can see brokenheartedness, just believe God. God's promise is He's already gone before you. He's already been to that person. And what He needs is you to say, hey, can I simply pray with you? And the doors will just open up. Because we are people who know what hurt looks like. You can see it. What God needs is someone to step up and say, I noticed that you just look like you're hurting. Can I pray with you? They're going to say, that'd be nice, yeah. And then God has used you. By the way, that would be a pretty good gift.